The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
You're listening to The Netball Show with Flyhawk. Today we're joined by CEO and London Pulse head coach Sam Bird. Sam, welcome back to the podcast. It's always a delight to have you on.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
The 2021 season is finally just around the corner after what feels like an eternity and probably the longest pre-season ever for you. How are the final stages of prep going?
Well, obviously elated knowing that we're starting the league, and the players and the staff are all really excited just to have that first game nearly in sight. So first thing is just being really excited. But also for us, I think, as you know, we've stayed together pretty much through the whole lockdown. So from when the league was cancelled in March last year, we've stayed together as a group and trained through lockdown consistently, and retained 13 of those players out of the 15 with two new good additions. So we're so ready just to start to compete and start to represent London, being London Pulse. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, I was, my next question, you almost preempted it there. You last season got off to a roaring start. We were about to have a clash with Team Bath just as the pandemic really tightened its grip, I guess. Is that something last season where you got to in March, is that something you'll draw on as you head into this season? Or are you kind of wiping the slate clean with your two new players and going ahead like that?
No, I think last year, I think it was sort of well publicised that we were a young team and we did well with that young team. And those first three matches we had, obviously, we were undefeated. That young team's a year older and has been together a year longer. And I think that's what our strength is, in that we already knew this group had a huge amount of potential, and you saw glimpses of that last season. And we've had chance to really stay together and work hard through lockdown. And so we're a better unit, a better cohesive team and squad. And we're looking forward to really showing that this season.
Were you happy with the pre-season performances that you had, that you managed to bank before? So with Celtic Dragons, for example?
Yeah, there's always positives and work-ons from any pre-season game. I think the first key thing for us was that we had a number of good pre-season matches, and we've had five matches, which in circumstances is I'm really pleased with. And thanks to my staff for helping that happen, because, as you know, the logistics of getting any match played at the moment are quite a challenge.
Absolutely.
But yes, lots that we've learnt, and really just been able to test pretty much every combination possible with amongst our squad against good opposition. That's been really useful just to see how players are combining, because whilst you can train really hard in lockdown in terms of your strength and conditioning and your tactics, it's not until you actually get on court together and get those game combos under your belt that you know where you are, really. So that's been a really good exercise, yeah.
You've had an extraordinarily busy off-season. Just looking back ahead of this interview at some of the announcements and projects Pulse has embarked on since you became CEO in April, I found the launching of a hub in the UAE, new membership plans, a collaboration with Knights Netball, who I think you're still training with, a six-figure partnership with an investment firm. I mean, all of this is absolutely immense. I don't think any club has been publicly at least so busy. How important is it for you that Pulse is active in its collaborations and seeking out new partnerships such as the ones that you've launched?
It's absolutely crucial, and I'm extremely passionate about netball as a sport. It's changed my life as a player and a coach, and now as a CEO, and I want to share and enable other people to have those experiences through sport. And it's a privilege to be in the CEO position, and for me it's really important that I drive the club and our sport forwards in London, so that we engage more people to watch and play and understand what the game's about and understand what all the passion is about, that those that are involved in the game already understand. And So those types of collaborations that you mention are the start. We have an excellent team of staff that are looking to collaborate, have new projects all the time. So I've just come off a team meeting this morning where the staff have reported back about new partnerships that we're developing. We're revisiting on Netball Speaks Your Language campaign so that we can make some further impacts with communities in London. And it's a genuine passion and buzz around the club that we have a great opportunity to sell our game to new people in terms of finding out what it's about and to come and support our game.
Absolutely. I mean, that hearing your passion sitting here, especially given the current climate, that's exactly what we need, really, to get this going, to get the sport moving. And it's great that, because it has felt like for a long time, London was sort of left out of the map. You had Mavericks and Storm down in the south and, you know, powerhouses up north, but London sort of felt a bit on the side. But it's so great now to see the capital actually now having a presence and a strong face like Pulse. So that's really amazing. One thing you spoke about in September was wanting to remove the salary cap. Is that still an ambition of yours?
Oh, massive ambition of mine. I revisit it all the time and make representations about it, and I think it's crucial for a number of reasons. The first is that the VNSL itself says that it wants to be the best league in the world. And in order to be the best league in the world, it needs to have a professional flat platform that enables players to earn a proper salary. So in order to earn a proper salary, we as clubs have to be able to give them one. And where the salary cap is still so small, with all the will in the world, we can't give them that at the moment because the salary cap is too small. And it's also important that we start to value our own sport more realistically. You know, why do we value our sport and our assets, our players, our staff at such a low level? And I think it's all sort of interconnected, really. And I think the more we can recognise that our sport has value and that people do want to watch it, people do want to play it, people do want to invest in it, that we start to up our own game, really. And it's essential for me that one of the pillars of making that change to a truly professional sport is to enable the salary cap to be lifted to a more reasonable amount.
What are the arguments for keeping the salary cap where it is?
I think the arguments for keeping it where it is are that clubs can't afford to pay anymore. And for me, it's a bit chicken or egg, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So if the salary cap is kept low, then that's all the clubs have to aspire to pay. And if the salary cap is made larger and we're given more freedom to encourage players to come to London Pulse, for example, because we can pay them more, they can live in London, they can train on the Olympic Park, they can have great partnerships. As you know, we've got Flyhawk as a great partnership, Atlantic House Investments. We have great partnerships. Why should we not be offering those players professional contracts, truly professional, where they can earn the living doing what they should be able to do, which is their sport? So yeah. I think it's there's some nervousness around some clubs that feel like, well, you know, if the salary cap goes up, how do we afford that? But I think it becomes a driver then to get more investment and to be more aggressive and to be bolder in the market to get that investment that the sport needs.
Absolutely. I mean, I would love to see, I mean, as a fan and as a journalist in the game, you'd love to see the players being paid more. But equally, as you say, the support staff, because it feels like netball runs on the energy of volunteers a lot. And it's great that we have that passion. But if we could actually pay that passion, you know, where could we be? That's, yeah, absolutely. I would love to see that cap go up. So talking of other ambitions as well, what are your expectations for Pulse this season?
They're high. And we've had lots of conversations about this because, it's a scary thing to say out loud when you look at our very short history. You know, the first year the club existed, the club recruited players late and came last. And then I came in and was able to change up a number of things, and we turned that into being undefeated last season. But we only played three games, and it's fair to say we played teams that were at the lower end of the table, because that's just how the cookie crumbled, and that they were the nature of the fixtures. So we made progress last year, but we didn't play any of the big hitters in the league. So for us, it's about stepping up and now taking a few scalps from those big hitters. There's a lot of belief within the group at training. We know that we have improved. We know that we have made great strides again. But we know our opposition are also trying to do that. So it's not that we're the only club making progress. Obviously other clubs are as well. So for us, it's about being ambitious to compete and beat the big teams in this league, and to then really, really show what we can do in terms of our performance and the way we play as well.
Are there any teams in particular, or individuals or new signings, that you have a watchful eye on?
Well, I think it's exciting to see Rhinos back. I think you obviously follow netball closely, so you will know there's been a gap in that area with Yorkshire Jets coming out of the league a few years ago. So I think the involvement of Leeds Rhinos in the league is a positive thing in terms of the sort of regional stability of netball across the UK. So I think that's a positive step, and they've made some interesting signings, and obviously nobody really knows what they're going to bring. So that gives an element of excitement. But I think lots of the teams have actually remained pretty stable in terms of their signings because the season was cut short. I feel we've got stronger as a team, with particularly signing Lefebvre Radaman as well. We now have five international shooters within our club. So
amazing.
You know, it's just an insane amount of talent that we have. So I'm happy with where we are, but we're not so, not so daft to think that the opposition are not coming at this league in the same way as we are. And we're really looking forward to the clashes and the contests that are ahead. Can't wait.
I really wanted to ask, obviously you said that you have lots of international talent, and two of them are South African teammates who are young and completely full of potential, and, you know, competing for Commonwealth and Home World Cup the year after that. Is Dorette Badenhorst in touch? Or do you expect her to be in touch with you and when the league gets going?
Yes, Dorette and I are in touch. And in fact, I developed a relationship with Dorette as I had another player of hers, Marijke Holthausen, for a couple of years at Seven Stars. So it's part of my job as a sort of head coach, really, to have good relations with all the international coaches around the world that that supply players to my teams and other teams in the Super League. So there is definitely good communications between any international coach of players that we have at the club. And I know that's pretty standard amongst my colleagues as well in other clubs, that it's really important that we feed back and work with those international coaches, as well as obviously improving those players whilst they're in our club environment as well. I mean, the difference is that we have the international players training with us 6 days a week for a whole season, or, you know, it's December to July. We have those players in with us in the club environment. So their development and their progress is crucial within our environment, that they then take back to their international team wherever they're from.
Yeah, I can't wait to see them in action, and to see Adeen Thomas in there as well. Absolute international flavour, which is great coming out of London, as you say. Like, it's an international city. So final question for you, Sam. What kind of netball can we expect from Pulse? So to sort of draw on some super netball jargon, what's the brand? What will make it unique?
Our identity is winning ball. We are unique because of our diversity. We are the most diverse team in the Super League, and I think probably in the world, in terms of the flavour and the culture we have inside our club. London Pulse has over 30 languages spoken within it, last time I checked. And we are truly, truly international and diverse. And that gives us a unique flavour of what we can produce on court. And so you will see dynamic, exciting, ball-winning performances. And we want to create netball that people want to watch, that's exciting, and that the players want to play. So it will be fast-moving, loads of intercepts, lots of elevation and quick transitions through the court is hopefully what you will see.
Oh, I'm so excited. Oh, roll it on. Bring it on.
Yeah, me too.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. It's great to have your time. And again, best of luck with what's coming. Looking forward to seeing you in action. Thank you.
Pleasure, Chloe. Thank you very much.
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.